I would like to talk about two phrases that come up in the readings today. And the Lord says, Jesus here in this John 17 we are, it says here, he says that he's going to give the eternal life to all of us. And then he says, now this is eternal life. Aha, he's about to define eternal life, so pay attention. All right? So this is eternal life. He doesn't mention harps or angels or clouds or mansions here. What does he say? Now this is eternal life. All right? To know you, the only true God, the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. Now, notice again, I've tried to say this to you before, but know, K-N-O-W, in the Bible, never simply means intellectual knowing. Okay, I've memorized certain facts in the catechism about God. Now I know him. Well, no, that's intellectual knowing. But knowing in the Bible is a much richer concept. It means that to know the Lord means to have deep, intimate, personal experience of the Lord. Okay? So it's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know the Lord. All right? And so this is eternal life, to know the Father, to know the Son, to know the Holy Spirit. Now, I've mentioned this to you before. I'm afraid when I hear some people describe heaven, it's funny how they describe heaven and how they don't describe heaven. They'll mention things like happiness. But most of it's a very egocentric thing. I'll be happy. I'll have what I want. I'll have a mansion. I'll see my mother again. And so on. I will have this. I will have all these things. So it's very egocentric. And I keep, I wait. And will they mention God? If God is on the list, he's not exactly at the top. And so again, a completely flawed notion of really what the heart of heaven is. The heart of heaven is to be with God. See, he is the mansion, all right. You'll see your mother, but in him, you see, we'll be swept up into the life of God, and he will be before us. This is the heart of our happiness. And if you read the descriptions of heaven in the book of Revelation, or in the book of Daniel or Joel or any of these heavenly visions, Isaiah, all of these visions, it's all centered around a throne or throne-like altar, and all the saints and everyone and the angels arrayed in festival garments, praising and worshiping God and being and exalting in God's presence. And that is heaven, you see. This is not an egocentric heaven. It's the heaven that's focused, you see, on the Lord. So this is eternal life, says Jesus. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. All right. And now, I also wanted to mention here at the end of this first reading another statement that's made. Paul is leaving Ephesus, and he is going to down to Jerusalem to bring this collection that he's made for all the faithful there. And he sort of knows that he's not going to fare well, and so on. But here it is, and he says, "Now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again." So he may know that he's going to die soon, or he may simply know that his itinerary. He may be simply referring to the fact that his itinerary is going to bring him to a different part of the world. But in the end, he says this, and this is what I want to focus on. "I want to declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you." And by the way, when a Jew says blood, they mean life, okay? "I'm not responsible for the life of any one of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God." Some translations say the whole counsel of God. This, of course, is the task of a preacher and a teacher, right? To proclaim the whole plan, the whole counsel of God. And it's not something you can do all in one sermon. It takes time. But in the end, this is my task. And you, who would be raising children, grandchildren, and so on, this is your task, to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Now notice, not just the part you like, not just the part you most resonate with, but the whole plan of God. Even the unpopular stuff, even the difficult to understand stuff. Well, how come? Why? Why is that so? Well, it is. And so we have to proclaim the whole counsel of God. This is at the heart of what any preaching or teaching ministry has to ultimately be. So I ask your prayers for me that I can do that and not shrink from it. As he says here, he did not shrink from proclaiming the entire plan of God. It's one thing to say that God loves you, God is for you, he's not against you. That's all well and good, and it's true. But it's also true that God is not at all pleased with sin, that there is a day of judgment, that sin does exclude us from the presence of God, and if we're not serious about our medicine, taking our medicine, we could go from bad to worse. These are also truths that are proclaimed. Remaking and refashioning the scripture that some are doing today. Well, I know that, God didn't really say that. Well, why do you say that? Well, he couldn't have, because it doesn't agree with my worldview. It's really what it comes down to. Well, he couldn't have said that homosexual activity is wrong, because the God I know wouldn't say something like that. Well, it sounds like you're worshiping a false God, a God you made up. That's called idolatry. Or I know that the God whom I worship wouldn't ever send anyone to hell. Well, all I know is what the Bible says. Well, but we know that he never really said that. Well, what makes you say that? Well, it doesn't agree with the God that I know, you see. Well, again, I mean, you're making up your own God now, you see. See, but what we have to do is proclaim and accept the whole counsel of God. Now, I know that hell is hard to understand. It's a mystery, and I've tried in other sermons to explain that it's very reasonable, actually. It's God's respect for our freedom. But in the end, it's not an easy teaching. I understand that, but simply, we bow our heads and we accept what God teaches us, and we stop being stubborn and making up our own God. And this is what's meant by accepting the whole counsel of God. So, again, pray for me, who is a preacher for this community, the pastor, and that I can proclaim the whole counsel of God. And pray for yourselves that you can also, to your loved ones, proclaim it. And that also all of us collectively can accept the whole counsel of God. Because we like to pick and choose. This is part of our fallen human nature's tendency. We like to pick and choose a little bit. But in the end, we have to accept the whole counsel of God. And you know, regarding the question of sin, I know that there are some people who struggle repeatedly with certain sins. And it seems to me that it's one thing to struggle with sin, but at least to know that it is sin, and when it's done, to get up again, try again. That's one thing. But it's another thing, and this is what I find most troubling. When someone says, there's nothing really wrong with you, who's telling me what to do, and I have nothing wrong, and the God I know doesn't really care, and all that kind of remaking all of it. That do not call good what God has called evil. All right, don't ever do that. Now, if you're struggling with it, maybe it's with anger or sexuality or with addictions of some sort. If that's the issue, struggle with it, but don't call good what God has called evil. At least say, is something wrong with this, and I do need to repent, and I may be struggling with it, but that's at least an authentic struggle. But this thing about remaking and refashioning God and refusing some aspect of the counsel of God, that is bold, that is prideful, and that is not good at all. So, preach it and accept it. The whole counsel of God. Amen. Okay.